Begin reading verse number 8 here, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Just ask you to help us, Father, as we preach your word. Make us an able minister of the word of God. Speak to us. And Father, just touch, Lord, the hearts and the ears of the hearers this morning. And help us that we might, Lord, hear the word of God and receive it, Father, into a heart that's ready. And Father, we're good ground and it can bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. And we'll just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. The shepherds and the angels. Amen. The shepherds and the angels. Quite a contrast. Amen. The shepherds in their obscurity and lowliness, yet they were the first to receive the message from heaven. A message that was delivered by the angels. And what a contrast it is that it presents to us when we think about the contrast between the messengers and the ones receiving the message. The angels hear the highest of God's, we could say the highest of God's rational thinking creatures are brought together with the shepherds. Those of the lowliest of means in this world. And it tells us in verse number 8, it speaks, and it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds." Now this employment of tending the sheep had been an employment of honorable duty. In early times, Jacob, Moses, David, all of these tending the flock, tending the prophets, spoke often and used the figure in description of the Messiah about Him being a shepherd to the sheep. Jesus Himself spoke about being the great shepherd, but at this time, being a shepherd wasn't thought too highly of. It had become something that was looked down upon if you were just a lowly shepherd. Amen. Not many folks wanted to grow up and had ambitions of being the shepherd. It was not that way anymore. But I'm reminded of what Scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 in verse number 9. It says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then in Psalms 103 and 11, it says, "As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." You see, God's ways, not our ways. And that's why in this world that we live in, and it's why even with us sometimes, that we have a problem with God because we think things should be done a certain way. I mean, we think they ought to work out this way. And we think after the earthly wisdom and the mind and the reasoning that we have, and it's far below that of God. And He says that His ways are much higher than our ways. And so here we've got the shepherds, just lowly shepherds in their employment, tending the sheep. But amen, they were honored with a visit from the angels with a message. And it says in this verse, "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks." They were just abiding in the field. They were shepherds. The second thing that I want to notice, not only were they just shepherds, but the condition of their heart. The condition of their heart. See, it was necessary that Christ was going to have to be born into this world. And the fact should be communicated to men, to others. And so, He must be known in order that He might draw all men unto Himself. You see, John 1 and 7 says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe." And so just as John was a witness, these shepherds were going to be a witness. But the annunciation of the birth of Christ, it wasn't shared with the rulers, with those that were the kings of this world, or even those that were in the synagogues, the Pharisees and those. That wasn't who God sent the message to. You see, it appears as we look at Scripture and we see there was a group of folks that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. They had a hope that the Savior was coming. You see, the rulers and the Pharisees and those were men that it seems that in this time that they were under such worldly influence and thoughts that their hearts were not ready to receive the Word. I mean, they could have heard the Word, but they wouldn't have believed the Word. Their hearts had become calloused and hardened and cold, and they thought with them that everything was okay. The shepherds were different. Their hearts were still pliable They were still soft. They were still ready and waiting to hear a word from heaven. Now, never did they dream that the word would come directly to them in the way that it did. But amen, their hearts were ready to receive such a word. You see, Jesus spoke in the book of Mark, and he said this, "When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance." You see, Jesus, he had heard them speaking, and the scribes, they thought that everything was well. The scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't have any need for a doctor. Now then, boy, I'm thankful for doctors, dentists. I had to go to the dentist this week. I don't necessarily like them. Now then, don't get me wrong. My dentist and my doctor, they're good people. I like the people. I'm talking about having to go to the doctor. I had a neighbor that told me, said, "Boy, I retired." And I said, "When I retired, I was going to make my own schedule." He said, "Little did I know the doctors was going to set my schedule." And I know from my own experience, boy, there's been times when, you know, I put off things. I didn't go to the doctor. It'll get better. And I didn't go. I didn't go to the doctor. And one time in particular, I waited long enough that when Pam got home from work one day, I said, "You're going to have to take me to the emergency room right now because something's fixing to happen. It done got bad." Now you see, that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I didn't come to call the righteous to repent. They thought everything was well. They didn't have no need of a Jesus. They didn't have no need of a Savior. They were doing all right. When is it that men get to the place where they're really looking for a Savior? When they recognize the need in their own hearts and lives. Boy, I got to a place physically. I knew, listen, I've waited as long as I can wait. We got to get some help. And amen. And Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And amen, the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought everything was fine. But amen, those shepherds, they knew. Well, they knew that there was something missing in their lives. They knew that, amen, everything that God had promised, they were still looking for the Messiah, looking for the Savior. Amen, they were looking. And so guess what? That's where Jesus showed up. That's where He came. Their heart were still pliable to the Word of God. And you see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." Many of God's great men and women throughout history would fall into this particular category. Men and women that the world didn't think much of, but God used them mightily. God used them in a mighty way. 1 Corinthians verse up previous from that in 1 Corinthians 1:26 tells us, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Why? Because if we look around even in our day and time, what happens? And the brother mentioned it last week about, amen, I think he said something about some relative, somebody, they sent them off to college and they come home an atheist. Amen. Boy, they send them off and they go and they get all this learning. You know what they don't need? They don't need God anymore. They don't need God. But amen. And so we see, he says, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Amen. However, there was one I read, and I can't remember the lady's name, but she was a noble birth and lived in a royal family. But amen, she was a child of God and she was saved. And she said, because they read this verse, and she said, "I was saved by the letter M." Somebody said, "What you mean by the letter M?" She said, "Because the verse says, not many nobles." She said, "I'm thankful that they put an M in front of that A, because it didn't say not any, but it said not many." And she said, amen, she was saved. And listen, that's just a little picture of the grace of God. But amen, the shepherds, they had a heart to hear and receive the Word of God. But amen, it also says of those shepherds there, what were they doing? They were keeping watch over their flock. It was while they were engaged in their daily occupation. They were doing, amen, what God had called them to do. Amen. They were working. Amen. No matter what it is, amen, no matter the occupation, they were engaged in His calling when they saw this heavenly vision. And it was a privilege that was denied to those that would be like hermits and forsaken the secular life, you know, and they were just waiting and contemplating for some kind of mystical experience. No, these men were just ordinary men, just ordinary shepherds. And amen, they were doing what God had called them to. You see, we don't need to belittle what we do and what men do in this world to make an honest living. Amen. God's called some to be astronauts and amen, some to dig ditches. That's the reality. And amen, and it don't matter, amen, what God was, where He's placed us, where we are, amen, do it faithfully. Amen. And that's what they were doing. They were just shepherds. They didn't think, listen, I believe they didn't have any idea that God would show up the way He did. They was just out tending their sheep, doing what they were supposed to do every day. And amen, and God showed up. God showed up. Or if we work in construction, do it to the best of our ability. If we're the garbage man, amen, do it right. And just do it. Because, amen, we don't never know when God's going to intervene and come on the scene. And God's going to take us from a physical task and let us do some spiritual work. And amen, that's what He did with the shepherds. Amen, they were just taking their physical labor. They were working as shepherds. Amen, faithful in their calling. And God intervened, and all of a sudden, amen, He turned the shepherds into messenger boys, preacher boys, to go to tell a message of salvation. Amen, so don't belittle, amen, where God may have you. We think, well, what can I do here? What? Listen, I guarantee you the shepherds would have said and thought the very same thing. We just lowly shepherds. What is it that we gonna do? What can we do? But listen, here's the fourth thing right here about those lowly shepherds, because it says they were keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory of the Lord. God help us to catch a glimpse and a vision. Let us see the glory of the Lord. Amen. The shepherds that night saw the glory of the Lord. They saw what God reserved for them. Listen, it changed things for them. The glory of God came down. And when we look at every period in the life of Christ, and some refer to as His humiliation, as He took on the form of a servant, there's some notable declaration of His divine glory that's given all along the way. In this particular place, at the annunciation of His birth, it was the angels declaring to the shepherds the glory of God. When He was presented for circumcision, and on day 8, it was by the giving of His name, His name shall be called Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. And He was given that name in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. In His presentation in the temple, Simeon said when Jesus was coming, he was another one of them that was waiting for that consolation. Amen. He was waiting to see, amen, the Messiah. And in Luke chapter number 2 and verse 30, he said, when they brought Jesus, he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The glory of God. In His baptism, we see John protesting. Why did John protest? He said, here's what John said, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? You see, John recognized, John knew, amen, who he was. The Bible tells us in John 1 and 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And John the Baptist said, "You're coming to me? I have need to be baptized of you." Because see, here's what John knew. Before others had spoken it, John knew that there's never been one like this man. There's never been one like Jesus. I mean, that's what they said when He spoke to the winds and the storm, and He said, "Peace be still." Even the winds and the seas obey His voice. And all through His life, amen, at different places and different times, His glory was declared. Amen. But that shepherds got to see it on this night. Amen. As they were there tending the flocks, and the angels came and declared unto them the glory of God. Boy, what a night that it must have been. Because it tells us next that they saw this, the glory of God. And it says they were sore afraid. You see, the cause of their fear was a sense of their own situation. Their own sinfulness and alienation from God, and a dread of God's righteous displeasure with them. They knew what they were. They knew they were sinful men. They were not under any illusions, as this world would try to put men under, of your great value and of your great worth and how good you are. And listen, the Bible tells us this, that the heart of men is desperately wicked. And all we have to do is just look around. And we wonder, because everyone, probably this week, there was something that I read that happened not very far from here that I looked and I said, how in the world? But it's because of the desperate wickedness that is in the heart of men and women. And the shepherds were not under any illusion as to their great worth. But boy, when the glory of God shone round about, amen, they became more like, you know what Isaiah said when Isaiah saw the glory of God, and when this train filled the temple, what did he say? He said, "Woe is me. Woe is me." God spake to the children of Israel, amen, from Mount Sinai. And when He did, He brought them. Boy, there was a preparation made to go and hear from God. Amen. It wasn't something that they just woke up and they said, "Hey, let's go talk to God." No, amen. There was a getting ready period. And when they got there, and the smoke and the fire and the thunder, the lightning, the voice of God, when He began to speak, amen, they were stricken with fear. And amen, all they could tell Moses was, hey, you let God talk to you and you just tell us what He says. Because listen, when they come face to face with God, and listen, there was a veil even there. But amen, there was a fear. And with these shepherds, they were sore afraid. They never dreamed that, amen, this was going to happen to them. Their hearts were pliable, and God spoke to them. But amen, and they recognized their sinfulness. But amen, they were so afraid at this. They had a reverence for God and for what was taking place. They were so afraid, and they would have stayed that way except for this. Listen. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And verse number 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Amen. The fear could only be dispelled by an authoritative declaration from the angels. Amen. And the angels gave the declaration. God's compassion towards sinful men. Amen. Though they were stricken with fear, there came a message in the angel saying, "Fear not." Amen. This is a good word. This is a good message. Though you feel unworthy, and yet you are unworthy, amen, God in His mercy and His grace has given you a message. He's given you a word. He wants you to tell it. And so what we see here in these just these few verses, there's a story of ordinary men living ordinary lives when God shows up with a message of salvation. And like every time before, when the glory of God is seen by men, it changes things. It changes men. And see, still today, when men fall under the conviction of God, amen, there is a fear that comes, but amen, but God's still calling and speaking to men and saying, fear not. I'm bringing you good news. There's a Savior that has come. And so this morning, as we get ready to dismiss, some things I want you to think about. Number one, they were just shepherds. They were just shepherds. That's what they were. They were just ordinary shepherds. They were even of the lowliest rank as far as men would go. They were shepherds. But God came to them. But amen, but their hearts were still pliable. Their hearts were still in such a place that they could hear from God. They were engaged in service. They were busy. They were working. They were doing. And they saw the glory of God. They saw the glory of God, and in them it produced a reverence. Boy, yes, they began to fear, but it changed their lives. And they left, and they began to broadcast the message that they had heard. As our sister plays this morning, as we stand, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, no matter where we are, who we are, I pray this morning that our hearts are still soft and pliable to hear the message of God. Because God may have something He wants us to do. That we might too, that we might see the glory of God. And we might see the awe that God has, that God is. I pray this morning, while we wait just a minute, if you have a need, you come while we wait.